understand what's going to take place in this house this morning. And Ryan set this up in an incredible way this morning. I just want to tell everyone here this morning about the significance of what's going to take place here and what Ryan was talking about by the gifts of God's Holy Spirit are going to be so relevant in this house today. The Bible tells us very clearly that baptism is a sequence in our lives. The Bible says that we are to repent and then be baptized, because that is a sequence for us to understand. Because many people say, well, I was baptized as a child. The trouble with that is not the trouble, but the difference with that is that you can't repent when you're a child. You can only repent when you come of age and understand your need for Jesus. And so he calls us to this, and he calls us to a pathway of obedience in our lives. And water baptism, listen to this, opens the way to things that will never happen in your life until you take that pathway of obedience. Are you guys able to put the words up this morning? And I know you put it up here because of the, put me up there because of the tank. But the words, I really want them up there. So if you got to lose me to have them, go ahead. Yeah, there you go. Beautiful. I want to share this scripture with you about the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus is the only person in history, listen to this, that did not need to be baptized. And when he was baptized, it wasn't to command. He didn't use that as a command for you and I. He could have done that without being baptized. And he did not have to repent, because he is the only person that ever walked on the face of the earth who was without sin. He, the Bible says, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus was baptized so that you and I would see the benefits that would happen in our lives when we walked into the waters of baptism. Listen, John chapter 1 and verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. You read in parts of the gospel and in the book of John where John saw Jesus coming, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who, the Bible doesn't say covers the sins, but takes away the sins of the world. When Jesus came, he didn't come just to shove your sin under the rug. He came to take it away, to pay the penalty. And the Bible says that, and immediately coming up from the water, listen, he was baptized. Jesus is being baptized by John. Three things happen. Immediately coming up out of the water, the heavens parted, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Three things happened when Jesus was baptized, and I want you to know this. It's going to happen here this morning. And I've never said this, I don't think in all the years that we've done these three services, but if you don't have a place to go to this morning, like if you don't have to go out to work or something, your breakfast can hold. What's going to take place at 10 o'clock is going to be incredible. Three things happened. Heavens were parted. The Bible says that it just wasn't some clouds moving out of the way. Make sure you're with me on those words up there, ladies and gentlemen. The heavens were parted. The parting of the heavens means there was an opening in heaven itself for something supernatural, the invisible realm of heaven, to break through in our lives. It was a release of supernatural occurrences in our lives. Baptism gives an occasion for a heavenly announcement into your soul. Let me tell you something today. When these people are baptized today, you're going to, even if you're not in the tank, you're going to see and feel and sense the heavens opening up in this house. This is going to be an exciting day. The second thing that took place, the Bible says the Spirit came upon him like a dove. Baptism opens the way for a ceaseless overflowing of the power of God's Holy Spirit in the life of the one who is being baptized. Like never before, an incredible occurrence takes place. And then the third thing happens is a voice spoke to Jesus and will speak to you and I from heaven. When we come through the waters of baptism, God is making a statement to your life and to my life. Because of us putting our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and obeying His call to come to the waters of baptism, God says that through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, through the forgiving of your sin. Remember, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God cometh, who taketh away the sin of the world." Because of these occurrences happening in your life, when you come up out of the waters of baptism, because you are now identified with Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. I'm on point three, too, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus begins to speak to you from heaven above and says, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because we're great? No, because we obeyed Him. Not because you have done right and have lived right all your life. No, He takes your sin away, and now He looks at your action of obedience, and He says, "I am well pleased with them. I'm going to do something great." You ought to amen me better on an 8:30 Sunday morning. Come on in this house this morning. There is a benefit in obedience, and it unlocks something in the invisible realm for us. Let me read these two scriptures and I'll be done. I'll move on. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall," Ryan read it, "receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," a supernatural occurrence. Something happens in this moment. Acts 8:34. So the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, it's an incredible story. You should read in Acts chapter 8 that entire story. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. There's nothing more powerful in this world than the preached word of the goodness of Jesus Christ. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings peace. It brings hope. It brings fulfillment. It unfolds a new destiny, a new life before everyone who hears and believes it. And the Bible says he began to preach Jesus to them. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." I want everybody to say that. Say it with me. Say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, here it is again. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. When you obey God in baptism, there is always a Holy Spirit interaction that takes place. Always. One more scripture and then I'll move on. 1 Peter 3:20, "To those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the water." And this water symbolizes baptism that saves you. I've always stopped on that and just paused and rested on this. Listen, when you read the Word of God, don't run through it. Pause. This is an amazing statement. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. Isn't it amazing that when you and I obey God, that this incredible refreshing comes over our lives. Amen. Now, come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? When you do what you know you are called to do, there is a refreshing. The Bible says in Acts, repent therefore and return, that times of refreshing may come to you in the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the appointed and the anointed one, to you. Baptism does not save you, but baptism cleanses your conscience, and God is pleased with that. How many of you are excited about water baptism today? Come on in the house. Okay, now I'm going to share with you this morning here and at St. Anthony's what I won't do at the 10 a.m. I just want to share this short little thought with you about living right side up in an upside down world. And the Bible really gives us some insight on this, because in our jam-packed lives, sometimes it just feels like a wall of noise all the time in our lives. We leave and move from a place of rest and purpose, and we're just constantly grinding and working towards making it through the day into another day. But what if we pause the moment and just rethink how we live every single days of our lives, and we began to be intentional about what we're doing and why we are doing it? I really want you to just think about that just a moment, because God has a pattern for our lives, and that when we keep with his plan, he helps us to navigate through life in such a better way, about how we spend our time, our resources, what do we dream about, what beats in our heart, how are we interacting with God on a regular basis. Amos 3:3 says, can two to walk together unless they are agreed? I read this in my Bible plan this week. Because God has promised good things for your life and for mine, that he intentionally sets up things for you and I to embrace. And seeing this come to pass means that we have to endeavor to live right side up in an upside down world. Listen to this, Psalm 31:19 and 20 out of the Good News Translation. How wonderful are the good things you keep for those who honor you. Look at this. Everyone knows how good you are, how securely you protect those who trust you. Here's another thing that Ryan said a few moments ago. You hide them in the safety of your presence from the plots of others. In a safe shelter, you hide them from the insults of their enemies. When we make choices intentional to live right side up, he protects us from things that we don't even know are coming on around us or coming against us. I've thought of this. You get a little older, you look back over your life, and you see the things that missed you, that didn't harm you. And you think about that. And some people say, well, I was lucky about that. Let me tell you something. To the Christian, there is no such thing about luck. Luck is some worldly word and action that we think that this is going to happen to that. Not to the Christian. Intentionality comes into the life of the believer. Because when we honor and when we bless the Lord and when we obey him, he releases incredible things in our life. And you can go to the bank on that. There ain't no luck going to do what he can do for you. And it's always good to give him thanks and to praise him for the things that you see, and even the things that you don't see that have and could have happened to your life, but never did. Amen. Come on, we just ought to thank God right here, just a moment for that right now. The Bible says, it says in that Psalm 31 that he has things kept and stored up for those that honor him. And if you honor God with your life, with your family, with your work, your business, your job, your finances, at the right time, you will receive that blessing that he has stored up for you. You ought to amen. I don't know if you didn't get any coffee on the way in today. Because God has destined that they cannot go to anyone else but only you. There are blessings that God gives to many others, but he has a package set aside for me. That's why you should never get frustrated if you see somebody else being blessed and you're in the season of, you know, you're just kind of flatlined in some areas of your life. No, the Bible says in Romans 12:15, to rejoice when others rejoice. You get happy when somebody else gets blessed or something great happens to them. You get right around them, clap, high-five them, say, man, God's good to you. Because when you rejoice, when others rejoice, how many of you know it just moves you up in the line of the blessing that God has intended for your life to take place? But if you're just mully-grubbing around and say, why has everything good happened for them? How come they got this? And I've worked hard, and this has not happened for me. It's not fair. You live in that dimension, you get moved to the back of the line in life until you learn the process that God has for your life. Because God will bring you into your season, into your blessing. He will release the things that he has stored up for you in your time. He has a house with your name on it. If you're single, he's got a spouse with your name on it. He's got healing for your body, peace in your storm, abundance in the midst of lack. He has got something great for your life because he has the perfect fit at the perfect time for you to enjoy what he has set aside for you. And don't think that if he does something for somebody else, that he won't have enough left over for you. Can I tell you something? God has it all. He's got plenty. You're not missing out on anything. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The word giving heed means to pay careful attention, observe, acknowledge, and sometimes to take action with it. When you're living in a world that seems upside down and you give attention to everything that is pervade in that sense, you stay upside down. But when you give attention to his word, God will release impactful things to your life that you have no idea of. He will change. He might not change the world, but I'm going to tell you something. He will change your world. He will change your family. He will change your business. He will change your relationships. He will turn what seems upside down right side up so that you can walk in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because God, he is with you. He is with you. I love the scripture in Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see, will I not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there'll not be room enough to store it. When you and I honor God in the area of our finances, he doesn't say that we'll have these blessings. He says, he uses the word blessing, which means, he doesn't say bless, he says blessing, which means plurality, that he's got blessing everywhere you go and on everything you touch. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I could tell you some stories on this right now, because the blessing will help you when you don't have the skill to do where you're at. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've been put in places where I'm thinking, how did I get here? And now that I'm here, what am I going to do? But in that moment, God will give you the strength and the power and the anointing to be able to go to the level where he's brought you to at that minute, because you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are in covenant with him, and he's releasing something powerful in and over your life. He'll take the wrong people out, and he'll bring the right people in to help you to get to the place where he has called you to be. giving heed, giving attention to what he says to you and I will help you and I live right side up in this upside down world. But we have to give heed, because when we do, we prosper. Deuteronomy 30 says in verse 16, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. I like that. A season for dreams to come to pass. And this could be the time that the Lord has set aside for you to release a promise in your life. Some of you have been asking God for certain things that just seem so far out, so far-fetched, but he'll bring them to pass. That Psalm 31:20 again says, you hide them in the safety of your presence from the plots of others. In the safe shelter, you hide them from the insults of their enemies. Parents, pray that God will keep your kids from those who would want to expose them to evil. Pray. Believe God. Pray for our children that God will hide them in the safety of his pavilion. And I pray with you for that today. Some of you here today, you've lived through some hard times. Some of you, you know, I think about this in my own life. In so many things, I look at my grandkids and look to see how far that they are ahead of where I was when I was their age. No hope, no life, nothing, nothing to look forward to. But when the Word of God began to come into my life and into our lives and our families, it began to change something, not just in my life, but it began to change something generationally. Some of you need that to take place in your life. You maybe have headed down one pathway, but God wants to transition and change some things in your life generationally. And I know for some, that's a hard thing to look at. Say, well, I want God to do something for me right now. Let me tell you something. The older you get, you won't be thinking about you as much. You will be contemplating generational blessings to continue far after you are gone. I believe for some, this will be a season in your life where you will encounter God in a fresh way. For some of you, you need God to heal your body. This has been on my heart. In fact, today you're going to see some of those things happen in through the waters of baptism. Exodus 23:25 says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and on your water. And look what he says in this last. He says, I will take away sickness from you. When? When we worship God. When we honor God. When we put him first. Stop looking and focusing on all of the reasons that this cannot happen, and begin to focus on the supernatural blessings that God himself wants to drop into your life, into your family, into your home, into your generation, so that you can see the great things that he has set aside for you. Come on, how many of you receive it and you believe that with all your heart today? If you're able to, I want you to stand up on your feet. I want to pray, and I want to just declare blessing over you today. I wanted to make sure that I kept some time here at the end, because I want you to stop at the tables to thank God for Bruce and Peggy setting up the coffee and the goodies out. I want you to fellowship today before you just run out the door. And I want you to contemplate, can you, is there a possibility you could just rearrange your schedule to be part of the celebration that is going to take place here in just a little bit? Close your eyes with me today. If you're able to, just extend a hand to heaven today. Lord, I pray blessings over every family today. I pray that today that some who are living under the shadow of poor choices, broken dreams, broken hearts, that you will take that off of them. And that because of the act of obedience in their lives from now and going forward, Lord, today, next week, will be the beginning of the blessing that you have held for them to be released into their lives. Some merely, Lord, I know today need peace in their life, in their home, in their family, with their children, with their spouse. Lord, we listen, we pray, we obey your voice today. I pray that whatever has been on hold for us may be released in our lives when we obey you and when we trust you with our lives. So today, from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Come on, receive this. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name I pray today. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is watching at home today, that peace and grace and hope and life will be their portion. That from this day on, their hearts to honor you, to focus on you, and to live for you will be paramount above anything. Anything. And as a result of that, I just speak into somebody's life today that's watching. I speak long life to you. I speak long life to you. And I thank you for it today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a great big amen today. I love you. I thank God for you. Hey, stop at the tables in the back. Meet some people. Have some coffee. Have some goodies. Go in God's grace. If you're able to, come on back here at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a great day.